Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. A fitting choice for a film festival in hockey's birthplace, and at a moment when hockey culture itself is a heated topic. The Kingston Canadian Film Festival is bookended this year by two unique Canadian hockey stories. The festival opens with Youngblood, a powerful reimagining of the classic 80s drama, centering the experience of a young black hockey player navigating the road to the NHL, and closes with a special screening of the final episode of Heated Rivalry, followed by a panel discussion exploring its cultural impact. Festival director Mark Garnis sat down with CFRC to talk about how the festival came to be framed by hockey stories this year, and how, despite appearances, it wasn't part of a grand thematic plan.
I would say these are fitting choices for a film festival in Kingston, hockey's birthplace. I was wondering if you could, speak to the choice to bookend the festival with two Canadian hockey stories.
Yeah, it was definitely not intentional. It was an organic thing. I don't even know if we've ever played a hockey. We actually played Hubert Davis's previous documentary that we played. I think it was in 2018. It was called Black Ice. So it was a documentary on black hockey players through the years, and it was quite good. So that's the only hockey film that I think we've played during my 12 years with the festival. And it's quintessentially Canadian, and I think if there was a great hockey film that we could play every year, we would. But I think the reality is a lot of sports films are not always great, and so I think the fact that we get to play Youngblood, which is one of the top Canadian films of the year, it's really well done. It's a remake of the classic, and we get to play opening night. It just feels like it almost feels a little tongue in cheek, but it's like it's a great quintessentially Canadian film. And And then, you were mentioning that it was bookended by another hockey program or show. We're playing Heated Rivalry. We're playing the final episode called The Cottage, which is obviously available for anybody that wants to see it online. You know, it's been playing for a while now. But we have some talent coming in that are going to talk about it afterwards. And so there'll be a discussion about the show and its impact that it's making. Like, I feel like it's, you know, I don't know if it's public information, but I think they're going to be on Saturday Night Live the same weekend as KCFF. It's huge. And so I think for us to embrace that and have some people at the festival who can speak to that show's success is, I think it's important for us to acknowledge the impact that this show is making on, because KCFF is more than just movies. You know, we have other TV series that we're highlighting at this festival and at previous ones as well. So it is more, you know, screen content. Then we actually have a third hockey film in there too, which was, it's about the London Knights. It's called Team of the Century. It's by Annie Stewart, she might be around 20 now, give or take, but she was part of the first cohort of the 18mm program that KCFF runs. So that's our year-round youth filmmaking program. So it was only a couple years ago that she was just making a short film, and I think had not gone off to film school, but since then has gone off to film school and has actually now made a feature documentary that we're playing at a festival, and it's about the London Knights hockey team. So we have hockey spread out throughout the entire festival this year. So
interest in the hockey programming has been especially strong, particularly for Heated Rivalry. Demand was so high that the screening had to be moved to a larger theater after quickly selling out its original venue.
I was wondering if you could speak to kind of where the idea came from and how it kind of came together, because I know it came out quite late at the end of last year, and then being able to get a producer from the show, I feel like that was probably pretty big.
Yeah, like it. I think anybody that has anything to do with the show right now is just in such high demand. So I think when we started talking about doing something with the show, so Crave is a supporter of the festival, so we do work with Crave. So I think we had that conversation or that idea going for a while, whether or not we might be able to do something with the show. And I don't know if we can actually get anyone from the show. So I think we aimed high and we were like, oh, could we actually get the stars of the show when we first started thinking about it? And then, you know, as I just mentioned, I think they're doing things like Saturday Night Live now, so they're untouchable right now. But then it's even like, I think, made its way through. We're trying to get Jacob Tierney, who's Canadian film director who we've worked with in the past, and I believe we've had him to the festival in the early years, but he's just super high demand, and I think they're all also getting ready to make the second season. So but we were fortunate enough to get a producer from the show, Lori Fishberg. So she'll be coming over and she'll have, you know, she'll be able to answer any questions about kind of behind the scenes making of the show. I think, you know, people just have a general curiosity because it did come on so strong and has gotten so huge, you know, so she'll, I think, be able to answer a lot of those questions that people just have about the crazy trajectory that the show's on. And then we have Elamine Abdel Mahmoud, who's comes to the festival every year. He does a lot of moderating for us, but he's actually going to be on the panel. And he's more just like a pop culture kind of enthusiast and very well spoken. And I personally noticed that his Instagram feed for the last 2 months has just been very heated rivalry based. So we have him on the panel, and Liz Duff, who's a podcaster. She's, you know, would be like a pop culture expert as well. And I think her podcast is called Late Night Scrolling, but very much about like Canadian film and TV, and very much about heated rivalry right now too. So yeah, I guess I'd like to say that we have like a couple academics on the panel as well. So it's going to be led by Liz Duff, she's going to be the moderator, and it'll be just like an in conversation event after the screening for probably 20-30 minutes, and then we'll turn questions over to the audience. And I think we're keeping a few surprises up our sleeve too. So I think there's rumors that there might be some heated rivalry merch there and stuff like that. So yeah, it's one of those things when like the thing you're seeing on screen is very easily available. Because, you know, earlier in this conversation, I said like a lot of the majority of what you're seeing at KCFF, it's a very rare chance to see it sometimes in general, but definitely in a movie theater. But now I'm just telling everyone, obviously, if you don't already know this, Heated Rivalry is very available on Crave right now to watch, and most people I think have probably like binge watched it many times. But to see the interest in it is crazy. We started it at the Baby Grand and it sold out in like an hour, and so now we've moved it up to the Regina Rosen Theater at the Grand, which is 775 seats, and we've half sold it out in a day. So it's, to me, it's kind of crazy how much interest there is in this show. So I guess that just speaks to its importance right now. And I think people's general curiosity in the show and knowing, I think, that they can talk to some people that had a hand in the making of it is really cool to see that people are showing up in such large numbers for it.
All of this arrives at a complicated moment for the sport itself. KCFF's decision to showcase stories about players from marginalized communities offers both a commentary and a refreshing lens.
I guess I wish I could have said we curated this back in the summer when we were planning at the festival, but it has happened very organically. So I wish I had a better answer for that, where this is part of like some big plan. Our 2026 anniversary was going to be all about hockey and embracing like the moment. But, I think the nice thing about the films that we're showing, Heated Rivalry, Youngblood, is that like they're showing hockey through a different lens. And so I guess, to be honest with you, when we first thought about the idea that hockey might be a theme at the festival, there were some like things happening that were not good, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you turn back the clocks to, I don't know if it's a full year from now, but like when the trials were happening with the Canadian junior team, and we're like, and we were talking, I think we knew Youngblood was coming out. We're like, oh, could hockey be a theme at the festival? We're like, this is not timely right now at all to be like celebrating hockey during these trials that are happening for like these awful, awful, awful things that have happened in Canadian junior hockey. So not to bring things down, but like that was a conversation mm-hmm. that we had. And we're like, well, you know, I don't think we should go out of our way to be celebrating hockey this year. But then when we actually saw Young Blood and how powerful it was in a story of a black hockey player, and you know, and then with the heated rivalry craze and showing two queer hockey players and their story as well, it's like, okay, this has come about organically and feels right for us to embrace. And then obviously within Kingston, who, you know, we're the home of hockey, and it felt, I think once we saw the full package of films that we could put on offer, and it felt appropriate to embrace it. But you know, it's hockey's, I think that's why it's important to be showing these films and the show that we are, is because it shows hockey through a different lens, which is you know, it's refreshing, because that's not always the story that we hear about hockey in the headlines.
Once again, that was Festival Director Mark Garness on this year's opening and closing films for KCFF 2026. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is your Queen's Campus Beat, your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm Henry. In student government news, Alma Mater Society, AMS, President Jaina Amer has officially stepped down from her role as the 156th AMS President, effective as of March 1st, 2026. Amer's resignation follows escalating scrutiny, including last night's special AMS assembly, over her use of the AMS credit card, which she acknowledged including personal expenses, notably purchases at the Dynamite Clothing store, Uber rides, and a Costco transaction, that were initially charged without clear documentation or reimbursement dates disclosed until recently. According to the AMS statement released publicly and published in the Queen's Journal, Amer wrote that the AMS deserves stability, focus, and the ability to move forward with clarity and cohesion. The controversy over credit card use and financial oversights has sparked student debates and calls for accountability. This led eventually to motions within the AMS Assembly earlier this week seeking impeachment before Amer's resignation was finalized last night. Students from across Ontario are mobilizing today in response to recent changes to the Ontario Student Assistance Program, OSAP, and a 2% tuition increase announced by the Ontario government. The Canadian Federation of Students Ontario, CFS-O, is organizing a rally scheduled for 12:30 p.m. today at Queen's Park in Toronto. Students will be joined by provincial legislators, members of the Ontario Public Service Employees Union, QPE3902, the Canadian Nursing Students Association, and allied advocacy groups including Change Course and the Migrant Workers Alliance for Change. The rally is part of the CFSO's Hands Off Our Education campaign, which demands that the provincial government replace OSAP loans with non-repayable grants, remove all interest on OSAP loans, and halt future tuition increases and governmental interference in admissions, research security policies, and student fee structures. Organizers say debt and university affordability remain the most pressing barriers to post-secondary access in Ontario. On the academic front, the Black Studies program at Queen's remains a topic of institutional focus and concern. Founded to critically examine systems, geographies, and knowledges that shape Black life, the program is now 4 years old. Undergraduate Chair Dr. Jennifer S. Laith, an associate professor of Black Religion and co-chair of the BLCK Collective, has publicly addressed ongoing challenges around funding, staffing, and program autonomy. In an interview with The Journal, Laith noted that recent austerity measures across the university have led to cutbacks in staffing, funding reallocations, and increased minimum enrollment requirements that disproportionately impact smaller, emerging disciplines like Black Studies. Laith emphasized that these pressures arise questions about Queen's commitment to inclusive excellence, accountability, and anti-Black racism dismantling. She described the program as one of the university's best-kept secrets, with a global diversity of faculty and mentorship strengths, yet vulnerable amid broader financial constraints. In additional news surrounding transparency and finance at Queen's University, the university is facing external scrutiny over administrative travel spending after Freedom of Information disclosures revealed that senior administrators collectively charged more than $46,000 in expenses on a five-day trip to China last October. Documents show that Dean Bob Lemieux, Arts and Science, Dean Kevin DeLuzzo, Smith Engineering, and Vice Provost Anna Tierney were among nine Queen's leaders who travel costs during the delegation mission included high-ticket flights, accommodations, and associated expenses. Critics have raised concerns about transparency and student fee accountability, noting that many administrative travel disclosures historically have been limited or delayed until public records requests are filed. In recent global news, based on reporting from the CBC, 16 Queen's students and one faculty member remain stranded in Doha, Qatar, after their return flight from a field course in Sri Lanka was diverted on February 28th due to sudden Middle East airspace closures. The group was forced back to Hamad International Airport and has since been staying in a hotel while awaiting the resumption of commercial flights. University officials have confirmed the students are safe and in regular contact with Queen's administration, as regional flight suspensions continue with no confirmed reopening date. I've been Henry Walker with your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, March 4th, we are going to finally creep above 0, 1 degree feeling closer to 2 degrees in the sunshine, overnight low of just minus 2. Thursday, March 5th, daytime high of 3 degrees, but with the wind and rain in the forecast, it is going to feel quite a bit colder, around minus 7 or so. Friday, March 6th, we've got a possibility of rain slash freezing rain in the forecast, daytime high of 2, overnight low of minus 5. And then moving into the weekend, the warmest weather for the year so far, Saturday, March 7th, daytime high of 6 degrees with a little bit of rain forecasted in the afternoon. Sunday, March 8th, 8 degrees with about a 70% chance of precipitation during the day. And then Monday, March 9th, this is not a typo, daytime high of 11 degrees, double digits at last. And it's going to feel like 11 degrees, cloudy but no wind chill, rain, snow, or precipitation in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. And here's a quick note on overnight street parking in the City of Kingston. As of Sunday, March 1st, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased. Overnight street parking is now only banned on nights when the weather conditions require it. So keep an eye on the forecast if you plan on parking overnight downtown. In terms of road closures, Berry Street to Queen Street is closed indefinitely for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., King Street East from Clarence to Johnson Street will be closed for construction-related activity at 285 Queen Street. And Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. That's a wrap for this week's traffic report. Until next time, drive safe, everyone.
If you won $1 million, what would you do with it? I would probably pay off my student loans, buy a fish tank, and donate the rest to SickKids. Hello, my loves. I missed you all. It's your girl Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. Wednesday, March 4th is a busy one, so let's get straight into it. Women's nutritional needs evolve across the life stages. Understanding just how to properly nourish your body can play a powerful role in overall health and well-being. If you're looking to learn about nutrition, hormonal balance, and want to promote your digestive health, I encourage you to drop into Women's Wellness, a nutrition guide to optimal health, Thrive 65, an online informational session at 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. All right, stay with me on this one. Fusion energy is the process that powers the sun and the stars. It uses fuel that is virtually unlimited on this Earth. Fusions is the ultimate energy source and the original source of all energy in the universe. Nothing comes after fusion energy. That said, scientists have been working on utilizing this power for the benefit of mankind, and we are now to the point that this technology is on the verge of commercialization. Interested in this topic? Learn more at Kay Memorial Lecture Spencer Pitcher at the Biosciences Complex at 6:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Board games at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Did anyone end up trying Monopoly Go? I learned a new game recently, actually. It's called Codebreaker. I hadn't heard of it before, but it can get quite challenging at times. Would recommend. The Dance School series presents DSS Regal, guaranteed to make you laugh. Join the comedians at the Kingston Grand Theater, Homestead Baby Grand Theater, at 7 o'clock p.m. Their Wonderful Women Community Choir will be at the Crossroads United Church at 1 o'clock p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. All ages are welcome. The Open Stage Drag Show welcomes all new and veteran drag performers at the Grad Club from 8 o'clock p.m. until 10:30 p.m. Thursday, March 5th is the Vogue Charity Fashion Show at the Kingston Grand Theater Rosen Auditorium at 7 o'clock p.m. My friends will be there, I will be there, so why aren't you? Get your tickets before they're gone. Almost half the world's population live in great states, so why do they fail? Swing by the J.A. Corey Lecture, Why Great States Fail, with Dr. Alastair Roberts at the Robert Sutherland Hall, Room 202, at 2:30 p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. The Department of Philosophy Colloquium presents the Kennedy Memorial Lecture with Juliet Hooker in Dunning Hall, Room 10, at 4 o'clock p.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. Do you know what secrets lie hidden in the crackling waves of early wireless communication? Uncover the mysteries at Nautical Nights from Wire to Wireless at the Great Lakes Museum at 7 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Now for my favorite time of the week. Friday, March 6th, the Kingston Frontenacs face the Brampton Steelheads in Hockey for the Dogs night at Slush Puppy Place with puck drop at 7:05 p.m. Let them know, go Fronts go! Strap up your cowboy boots for Friday night karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. The Fellowship of the Improv presents the Lord of the Rings themed comedy adventure at The Loft at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social at 7 o'clock p.m. Looking for quick and cute scrapbook and card classes? Head to the Tech Creativity Center at 6 p.m. until 8:45 p.m. Hello, princess. Back by popular demand, get ready for Cringe Night Drag Show. The Cringe returns at the Grad Club at 7 o'clock p.m. This show is 19+. On Saturday, March 7th, QMed fights cancer. Hockey showdown at Slush Puppy Place at 4 o'clock p.m. Sweet Surrender will be happening at the Domino Theater, the Davies Foundation Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And the International Women's Day Showcase will delve into the female experience in the music industry, exploring creativity, songwriting, and the challenges of navigating the industry. Drop in at the Broom Factory at 1 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. On Sunday, March 8th, the Kingston Frontenacs are back on the ice, this time against the Oshawa Generals at Slush Puppy Place at 2:05 p.m. Swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 o'clock a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. Sunday Fun Day family activities at the Great Lakes Museum. Drop by anytime between 10 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. Planning a DIY show or community event in Kingston? Drop by Connecting Communities through DIY Event Planning Workshop, a free event with limited spots, at 12 Cataraqui Street, Studio 1, from 7 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And lastly, share your talent at the Youth Open Mic at the Broom Factory at 1 p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. On Wednesday, March 4th, don't miss DJ Great White at Hotel Wolf Island with anything from 60s, 70s, 80s, soft rock, soul, R&B, and new wave pop. If that's your vibe, join him at Hotel Wolf Island at 4 o'clock p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Wings and Tunes with Sean McCullough at The Cove Inn at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. I recently tried lemon pepper wings and it was really good, in case you were looking for something to add to your list. Christopher Jackson will be performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, March 5th, listen to Donnie Cooper lighting up the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Over on the island, Clear Breeze will be performing at the Hotel Wolf Island at 6 p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. And don't miss acclaimed singer-songwriter Lily Hiatt at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. It's a packed lineup for the first weekend of March, so let's get right into it. Friday, March 6th, the music starts early with Happy Hour TGIF, featuring Not Guilty, Ali Pester, Ken Jameson. Find them at the club at RCHA at 4 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Scott Owen takes over at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. In the meantime, Head Over Heels also hits the stage at the Coven from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Isabel presents Jaden Isaac Dzurko, a Canadian pianist and winner of the 2024 Leeds International Piano Competition. Join him at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts for works by Bach, Franck, and Rachmaninoff at 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And lastly, catch Three Pistols at my favorite Friday night spot, the Merchant Tap House, at 10:30 p.m. until 2 a.m. Saturday, March 7th marks the International Women's Day Showcase featuring Miss Emily, Luella, Clea, Way Brackenberry, Kyra, Atiari at the Broom Factory at 1:30 p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. Anyone know how to play the harmonica? Fun fact, I actually do. Don't miss 5 days in May as the Cove Inn celebrates the music of Blue Rodeo with Outskirts at 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Emma McGrath will be performing at the Hotel Wolf Island at 8 p.m. until 10 o'clock p.m. and Tone Cats bring the late night energy to the Buckle at 9:30 p.m. until 1:30 a.m. Sunday, March 8th means Sunday Funday Chicken Pickin' at the Cove Inn at 1 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. What's your favorite Harry Potter movie? The Magical Music of Harry Potter will be live in concert at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium. Don't miss the magic at 12:30 p.m. Works by Beethoven and Brahms will be performed at the Isabel Bader Center for Performing Arts at 2:30 p.m. While you're at it, let me know if you want to hear my 12-year-old self playing for release. Candlelight concerts are in Kingston. This week's feature, Coldplay and Imagine Dragons by Listo Quartet at the Spire at 6:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Did anyone else go to the Coldplay concert this past summer? Surreal experience. I will never forget it. The Music of Hans Zimmer and Others, a celebration of film music at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 8 o'clock p.m. I would definitely recommend this. Zimmer's music is absolutely phenomenal. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.